Okay. Well, welcome to our Fats, Fuels, and Oils forecast and webinar for the week of September 28th, 2020. Today, I have Tori Alden with us. He is our senior analyst for vegetable oil and seed oil. And Tori's going to take us through his adjustments to the forecasting data. Tori, you want to take it from here?
Sure. Thanks, George. It has been an interesting couple of weeks in the world veg oils markets. We had a huge run-up in prices that took the benchmark soybean oil contract up to 35 cents. And then over last week and sort of continuing today, we've come back down to about 32 cents, so a big 3 cent round trip or 6 cent round trip. I think probably we're a little bit closer to fair value now than we were when we were up at 36 cents. So let's get into the forecast. The big driver, I think, in part of the selling in soybean oil and really in world vegetable oil prices generally. Part of it was there was a collapse in the Chinese prices. China has really been driving the world vegetable oil markets for the last several months. And with Golden Week starting this week, you saw some liquidation in their futures markets ahead of a week-long holiday. But you also saw cash prices come down a fair amount. That's happened a couple of other times during the big rally in prices, and it's supported by the fundamentals because there's a big hole in the Chinese vegetable oils balance sheet. But this one may be a little bit more fundamentally justified if you think of it in sort of the following perspective. If China was stocking veg oils ahead of the Golden Week holiday and that stocking is finished now, then that probably, at least in the short term, releases some pressure off the world vegetable oil market. The other part of it is, I think that if you've watched the Chinese markets for any time at all, really, they tend to run to real excesses. So even more volatility than you would see in the US markets, both to the upside and to the downside. And so I think what we saw was essentially speculative excess to the upside, and that's been liquidated a bit ahead of this ahead of this holiday. What will be interesting to see is during the week that their market is closed, whether the soybean oil and palm oil markets return to trading on their fundamentals, or whether they continue to kind of trade on what they perceive might happen in China. The other big trigger for the sell-off has been a sharp decline in soybean prices. Soybean prices topped out above 10.50 and now are trading back below $10 this morning. There is a lot of concern in soybeans about one, the Chinese demand and the US crop being smaller than people thought it was going to be earlier in the year, and how much the Chinese demand will impact ending stocks, but also the development of La Niña and the impact that that's going to have on Brazilian production. We've looked at the impact of La Niña on Brazilian yields, and there is a real impact there. The yields go down in general because it's a little bit, La Niña tends to make Brazilian growing areas a little bit drier. But with the amount of demand that China, or the amount of shipments that China took out of Brazil earlier this year, drove Brazilian soy prices up sharply, along with a depreciation in the Brazilian real. And so analysts expect a huge increase in acreage, and even with the reduction in yield because of La Niña, we still expect Brazil to produce more than 125 million tons of soybeans, which would have been a record crop just a couple of years ago. Now I think it's right on the record. So even with the impact of La Nina, the market's starting to realize that no matter how much China buys, or not no matter how much, but given people's expectations for how much China is going to buy, there probably are going to be enough soybeans. And so that pressure from the soybean market is bleeding through into the soybean oil market. You've also seen a little bit of liquidation of long oil share, especially last week. The funds liquidated about 12,000 contracts out of their long oil share position that they had heading into the week. I think that that's probably a relatively short-term impact, and you've seen a little bit of adding those positions back from in the latter part of last week and then early this week. And if you look at the relative fundamentals of soybean oil and soybean meal, it probably still favors oil share, which has come down a fair amount over the last week. Looking forward, obviously we're starting harvest here in the U.S. and what that means for the soybean oil market is that sort of the peak of U.S. crushing is just around the corner, and so that provides the largest supplies of the year for the soybean oil market, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to build soybean oil stocks really quickly. We're still projecting that for the 2021 season, soybean oil stocks and continue to fall through November. And this is a chart of, this chart shows soybean oil stocks relative to the next month's demand. So you take the demand from domestic use and from exports, and you divide it by the number of days of the month, and then you compare the level of soybean oil stocks with that demand to get a number of days of coverage. And as you can see, we expect the days of coverage to sort of bottom out in November before we start to build back, not as high as we were last year, but certainly higher than the lowest point that typically occurs in the season. And we expect stocks to kind of continue to build through April before they start to decline again seasonally as crushing volumes start to slow. Now this year we saw crushing volumes slow relative to where they were earlier in the year, but not relative to prior years, because there's been some new capacity that's come online, and we think that that new capacity keeps crush levels at the crushing volumes close to the levels that we saw last year, which should keep soybean oil market relatively well supplied, but it will just kind of come down to how strong the demand is. On the demand side, we expect that demand will remain relatively strong here over the next several months as the same themes of the lack of supply from competing fats and veg oils due to slightly lower ethanol production and slower slaughter rates continue to drive substantial demand from the biodiesel industry. But also over the last 3 months, we've actually seen non-bio demand relatively strong. Combined, we've had, it looks like, three straight months of domestic usage over 2 billion pounds. That's the first time that that's ever happened. And we expect that domestic demand probably remains pretty close to that 2 billion pound level over the next 3 to 4 months before it starts to tail off a little bit. So even though we're going to have ample soybean oil supplies, we expect that demand is going to remain really, really strong. And that's why we expect stocks to remain relatively tighter this year than we saw last year. That said, we still expect stocks to top out above about 2.3 billion pounds in the spring, in the sort of March, April, May period. It looks like they get over 2.3 billion pounds there for a couple of months before they start to tighten up through the end of the year. On canola oil, cash prices peaked at over $1,000 a ton and fell back down last week down below $975, which looked like support on the way up. Canola cash prices in Canada kind of paused around 975 before they made their final push higher. Whether canola oil will go back above $1,000 or whether it's started to trend lower will depend in part on this supply deficit from ethanol and slaughter rates, because canola is kind of the marginal oil that's used in biofuel because it's relatively more expensive than other feedstocks. If ethanol production comes back faster than expected or slaughter rates tick up faster than expected, then I think that canola oil probably continues to trend lower. If those things don't necessarily happen and we get a continued supply deficit into next spring, then I think as China starts to come back from the holidays, and they still have a deficit in their veg oils balance sheet, I think canola is going to benefit from that due to stronger exports of soybean oil and stronger demand from the biofuel users. But what we have built in basically into our forecast is relatively strong demand through the end of 2020, and then in 2021, sort of a return to more normal levels. On the Canadian canola oil situation, we've seen crush slow a little bit over the past couple of weeks. It's dropped down. It was running about 190,000 tons a week. That's dropped down to about 170,000 over the last 2 weeks. And despite that tick down, we still have seen prices fall. I don't necessarily think that that's because demand has been weak. Like I said, without the additional supplies of corn oil and tallow and choice white grease, I think demand remains relatively strong. I think it's just a function of the futures markets and the cash prices moving to keep basis levels relatively steady with the sharp drop in the futures markets. For palm oil has dropped pretty sharply. It topped out just at 3,100 ringgit per ton, but it dropped with the liquidation in Chinese prices, and in addition to just sort of the typical relationship between prices in Malaysia and prices on the Dalian exchange, a lot of Chinese traders speculate in Malaysia as well. And so there was some additional liquidation in the palm oil market ahead of the holiday. I think that probably explains a fair amount of the decline today and the spillover pressure into soybean oil today. Of course, the drop in soybean prices is also affecting soybean oil. But yesterday you had an announcement of lockdowns in one of the largest palm oil producing states in Malaysia. And when those lockdowns occurred in March, it took about 5,000 tons a day out of production. And that should be relatively supportive. One of right now in palm oil, you kind of have a battle between relatively good export demand and seasonally increasing production. And one of the things that has driven some of the selling over the last week were expectations that production in September would be stronger than expected. With these lockdowns, which are going to last for 2 weeks, that should probably mean that the peak in production it will occur in September this year, and then we enter into the seasonal decline in palm oil production through February or March of next year. That should support palm oil prices, especially if demand in particular from China remains strong, before we start to get a build in ending stocks early next spring and then through the summer. And we think that that probably, along with a recovery on some level in the supply of veg oils in China, should probably weigh on palm oil prices through next summer. And with that, George, I think we'll shift it on to questions.
All right, Tori. So for the attendees, any questions that you have, go ahead and submit them in the Q&A section of Zoom. The first question we have, Tori, is where is the spread between soybean oil and palm oil, and what is the outlook?
So the spread has, it jumped a little bit in the past week. It had been trending lower and had gotten down to about a cent as prices were rallying. Over the last week, the spread between the December contracts is gone back up just above 2.25 cents. I have thought that the spread was going to move back out towards its historically long-term average, but it has remained kind of stubbornly low. And I think that in the short term, that probably continues, at least through the seasonal bottom in production. I think the spread probably remains here or a little bit lower, depending on the level of demand from exporters, and also Malaysia is going to raise their biofuel mandates this year, and so I think domestic demand is probably going to be a little bit stronger too. As that spread narrows, it makes soybean oil more attractive, particularly for some of the smaller importing countries. That's part of the reason why we had such strong soybean oil exports this year, and I would expect soybean oil exports from the U.S. to remain relatively strong as a result of a relatively narrow spread between soybean oil and palm oil, probably through the first half of the marketing year into kind of the spring of 2021, before I think that spread starts to widen back out, and then soybean oil becomes relatively less attractive.
Okay. Is the demand for soybean oil from biodiesel producers still historically high?
It is. It's not quite as high as it has been. This week we'll get the EIA data for July, and I think that will probably show another month of soybean oil demand well above 700 million pounds, which is close to record levels, and that would be the third month in a row that we saw soybean oil demand at that level. But I think from there forward, it probably starts to tail off slowly. And so right now, we've had not a complete recovery in ethanol production, but ethanol production is working its way back towards pre-pandemic levels. Whether it ever actually gets there or not is another question. I think that there's some number of people that just aren't going to go back to work, and so U.S. gasoline demand probably has shifted lower permanently. And so from that perspective, ethanol production and by extension corn oil production probably doesn't return to pre-pandemic levels. So there will be some additional demand for soybean oil going forward, but I think we're coming down from those historic levels. I just think it's going to be a relatively slow process.
Okay. What is your forecast for soybean oil basis levels through the end of the year?
So basis levels topped out about a week or so ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago at this point. Particularly in the Gulf, I think the Gulf got to like 5 over and have come back down slightly. So I think the Gulf is about 4 over right now. I think especially if the spread between soybean oil and palm oil remains relatively narrow. I think that basis levels at the Gulf probably remain relatively strong. I don't know that we will get back up to 5 cents. I think that's probably going to be the peak in basis. I think we probably come down a little bit from 4 cents, but maybe not down towards where we were before, well, early in 2020 when we were just above 2 cents over. I think we probably end up in the 3 cent, 3.25 cents over, somewhere in that range at the Gulf. In the Western Corn Belt, or I guess in interior basis levels, have followed a similar path with the Gulf, but just not to the same extreme. So right now, if I look, and excuse me for looking away, but right now, if I look, basis levels in the Western Corn Belt are about a half cent over. And in Illinois, they're about 0.75 cents over. I think that I think they probably go back down towards maybe a cent under, somewhere like that. Again, kind of following the same trend as the Gulf, but just offset a little bit. Part of that ultimately will depend on the U.S. crop size. Early anecdotal reports from harvest, which are typically skewed towards horror stories, and this year I think there's probably no shortage of those horror stories, but they reflect the dryness, particularly in the Western Corn Belt. There were a lot of reports of relatively small soybeans and pods that aborted in early to mid-September, before we got that kind of final rain. So I think when USDA releases its next forecast for US production in October, I think that probably they reduce the crop some, and that'll help support basis levels a little bit. But like I said, with the new crushing capacity, we expect soybean oil to remain relatively well supplied. It's just that demand is also going to be relatively strong. And so basis levels probably come down a little bit, but probably not to the levels that we're all used to from early in 2020.
All right, Tori, that's all the questions I have from the audience. Thank you for the information, and to the attendees, thank you so much for your questions, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks a lot, Tori.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.